first verse, therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith, we have peace towards God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have also access by faith into this favour in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. Then a bit later in the same epistle, chapter 15, Romans chapter 15 and verse 33. That's, I should have given the page number. It's now page 1367. And the God of peace be with you all. Amen. I suppose we all started this week hoping that certain talks that were due to take place in Washington were going to lead to peace. Meetings set up between important people, people who carry a tremendous weight of responsibility and who were meeting together to discuss a peace settlement in a country that's not that far from here. And we all know it didn't work out. We all know what happened to that meeting. But that made me think a bit about peace and individual peace, whether I have got peace and peace with God. A very long time ago, a man called Job, whose book is much earlier in the scriptures, he was wondering about this because he said, how can a man be right with God? How can a man be right with God? You can't be at peace with God. I think we'd recognize that if you're not right with him. But the great glory of what God has done in the glad tidings is that he has provided a basis that you and I, whoever we are and whatever our history has been, can be right with God. And he's done that at great cost to himself. I think we can't really fully understand what it took God to send his son to Calvary. Those of you who have sons would know something about the affections and hopes you have for your sons. But then God sent his son. We know the story of Jesus, how he came. It's an old, old story, but it comes home fresh each time we speak of it, the way that Jesus came. And he came in the lowliest circumstances. The children know all about the way Jesus came. He didn't come in a big, big gilded carriage. He didn't have all the trappings of royalty. He came as a little babe and in circumstances where no one wanted him, in a manger, in a stable. That was Jesus. But that was the saviour of the world. You can't help thinking God has done things completely different from what any person would design this great story of salvation. That Jesus came as a little baby and grew up in this world in which you and I grew up. To the children here, I say, Jesus was your age once, but he never got to be my age. He didn't die a natural death from old age. He was taken by wicked hands and hung on the tree. Charges were brought against him, empty charges, false charges. They said everything against him to try and justify what they wanted to do with him. And in the end, they were unable to do it. And the man that was in charge, Pilate, says, I'm going to wash my hands of the whole business. You do what you feel you have to do. And Jesus was hanged at Calvary. But the wonder of the glad tidings was, it's just not a story in history 2,000 years ago. Because God was working out something very, very special at that point 2,000 years ago that applies in 2025 as much as it ever did. Jesus worked out, as we know, on Calvary's tree, he bore my sins in his own body on the tree. Everything I've done that stood out between myself and God was cleared there and then. Every one of our history is different. Most of us have something in our history we'd rather no one else knew about. And yet, the hymn writer says, my sins, not in part, but the whole, were born on the cross and are gone evermore. That's lovely, isn't it? Because I've got a basis to have peace with God if I know that my sins have been completely removed from a righteous sight. From a righteous God's, rather, in the sight of a righteous God. What a thing it is if I can be clear, if I can have that joy and hope in my heart, because I know that whatever happens to me tomorrow, next week, in a year's time, that my links with that supreme being, the God that I believe exists, the God I believe loves me, has actually sent his son to die for me. And so Paul says in this epistle to Romans in chapter 5, therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith, I believe what God says in his word. That's what faith means. I believe. Having been justified, that means cleared. That record that I had has been completely cleared. It's not just the way that the courts in this land do it. They say, you're right, we don't find you guilty. That may be because you're innocent. It may be because they haven't got enough evidence to prove a case against you. But when you're justified, your slate is completely clear. There's not a mark on it. You can be absolutely clear before God, because you know that Jesus has cleared everything for you. What a hope the Christian has. How we can have peace in a very difficult situation. Peace inside, because we know that God has a way and has worked things out, made provision for you and I to be in his presence in a way that's suited to them. If there is a God, why shouldn't he stipulate how he wants you to be with him? Would he have someone that was full of sin, something that was completely not in keeping with his essential nature? Of course he wouldn't. And yet, in spite of all that, he's done everything to make a provision for you to be before him in a way that's pleasing to him. Having been justified on the principle of faith, we have peace towards God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. To have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that lovely? This is what the gospel offers you and me. May we all appreciate it a bit more. Think a bit more about what it is, the privilege of what God has done for us in giving his son, that you and I might be increasingly concerned to be here for him until he takes us to be with himself. Well, we live in a difficult scene, we live in a marvellous place as well. We live in a world that God has created, spoiled by sin, no doubt. But the heavens declare the glory of God. If you look up at the moment, we've got some nice clear skies. You can see some of God's creation. So many planets that we can't always see. All revolving round our sun, all different circuits, much, much bigger than others. Some closer than others. Children have got binoculars. They can look and see what extra they can see with their binoculars. See how many of these planets they can see. I hope Tim can recognise them, because I can't. But there we are. The heavens declare the glory of God. And you get some sense of the greatness of what God has out there when you see the little planets, little specks in the sky. The heavens declare the glory of God, the Saviour God, the God of peace, the God who wants you to know peace, the God who says, the God of peace will be with you all. That's Paul's concern for the company he writes to in the Romans. It's God's concern for you and me in 2025, in Worthing, wherever we are. God wants us to know peace with him, to have that settled something inside, that whatever happens around, you know that your salvation is sure and certain and was worked out 2,000 years ago. It won't be changed. It can't be changed. It's sealed in the blood of my Saviour who died on Calvary's tree. I think that's all I've got to say. Well, may God bless the word. Amen.